Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to our text this morning. It's found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. We'll be reading together verses 1 through 14, giving our focus, though, later to verses 5 to 14. But we want to set the stage here with this section. Matthew 18, 1 through 14. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And he said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into the eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be cast into the fiery hell. See to it that you do not despise one of the little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man came to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." May God bless his word. Please be seated. It's the natural instinct of a good parent or a good sibling or just a good friend that you protect those you love. And you protect them fiercely, because you know that this world is full of all kinds of ways in which evil is on the prowl. And the devil himself, we know, is looking to rob and to kill and destroy all that is good. To paraphrase Jesus elsewhere where he spoke, we could say, "If you then are evil, you then are evil, know how to protect the ones you love. How much more will your heavenly Father protect you?" Our text this morning takes us from the manner in which you are truly great in the kingdom that we saw last week. The disciples wanted to know how or who of them was the greatest. And Jesus upends all of their ideas of greatness by setting a child before them and showing them that to even get into the kingdom, you need to be like this little child. And it's those who are always like this child who are the greatest. He's made it plain to his power-hungry disciples that greatness in the kingdom is being like a little one. A little one in your dependence upon God. We saw that the only great Christians ever, anywhere, for all time, are those who trust like a little child. In fact, you could say those are the only kind of Christians at all. At all. And so Jesus now addresses in the midst of this, the Father's protection of his little ones. We might find this to be a bit of a strange transition in the midst of showing his disciples who's the greatest and that it's those who are like little children in their faith. And now he shifts gears, it seems, pretty fast to speak about what God will do to protect these little ones. These little ones in the kingdom. Or how it is, you could say, God will protect the great ones who are the little ones. Here's the transition. Jesus is proclaiming to his disciples, greatness in the kingdom is like being a child. It's one who has a little one, who are a little one in relationship to God. That is, you're utterly dependent on God for everything. Those are the little ones. We saw last week that this was really a technical term here that Jesus uses for believers. Believers. And the fear of our sinful hearts is that, though, if you're like a little child in this present world that we live in, you're going to get crushed. You will get absolutely crushed. You will get bulldozed by the world and the devil, because the world believes that greatness only goes to the powerful in this world. And so to show weakness in this sense, or dependence, is a terrifying thing. Christ has revealed that true greatness, though, is not to look to ourselves, but to the greatness of God, just as a little child looks to their father. And so, to consider being a little one in any sense in this world can be a terrifying thing. Jesus now goes on immediately in the passage to reassure the disciples that he is a fierce defender of his own. This is a text for us to come to and to see that the full might of heaven is there for the defense of the little ones who trust in Christ. Jesus said, whoever receives one such child receives me. Verse 5. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. He makes it clear that to receive or to love or to support or help one such child, that is, one who believes in Christ, is to receive him. It is to do it as unto Christ himself. Jesus is revealing here that he is loved directly when the saints love one another. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. That's how deeply God is going to care and be concerned when you help or love one of the saints who are the little ones. Again, we saw last week that this is not a text where Jesus is speaking about just loving children. He loves the children, as we saw. We'll see that in the next chapter, in chapter 19, where he gathers the children to himself. But here, this term, little one, is a term that is not referring to the physically young, but to those who trust Christ as a child. And so every saint is a little one. The word here is micron. That's the word we get micron from, or micro. Little ones, tiny. Every true saint is a little one. And so Jesus ties himself directly here to every single saint, every single little one. No one is going to be forgotten. None of them. None will be ignored. And then Jesus goes on to give these warnings. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. And in verse 7, he goes on to say, woe. Woe to the world, and woe to the man through whom stumbling blocks come. Woe. When God says that word, woe, it's meant to be a word that is full of you could say, shock and awe. It doesn't mean simply that there's going to be a very disappointed look from God, some kind of heavenly frown that he'll just give when he says, woe. It doesn't mean there's going to be a stern email or a mean tweet from heaven. When God declares a woe, it is a thundering judgment, beloved. It's a terrifying thing to hear from heaven declared against you, woe. The Bible uses the word in different places. Sometimes it refers simply to great sorrow or great trouble. We say, woe is me. But when God uses the word woe, it refers to a judgment from God that should cause you to run for the tall grass. It means things are going to get bad. Really, really bad. It means really they cannot get worse. It would be better for you to have a millstone around your neck than to face the judgment of God. And so, to the one to whom God brings a woe in this text is in real trouble. Be better be drowned in the ocean than to face God's woe. Woe to the one who brings a stumbling block, Jesus says. It's inevitable that the world will bring those stumbling blocks. It just is going to happen. The world is out there to trip us up in any way it can. It will daily seek to cause the little ones to stumble into sin, but Jesus says, woe to the one who does bring the stumbling block. Woe to the one. He goes on to speak about cutting off your hand or your foot or gouging out your eye if you bring a stumbling block through them. He speaks of the angels of heaven defending even here. The forces of heaven are going to be arrayed against the one who seeks to lead a little one into sin. I'd rather face 1,000 earthly armies than to know heaven is arrayed against me. And so here Christ is making it plain that God will avenge the one who trips up his children in sin. Fathers, you know how fiercely you would defend your child from someone who was coming to harm them. You would go to war if someone came to deliberately hurt your child. How much more is the God of heaven going to rise up for his own? And so the warnings Jesus gives here are there to cause us to avoid these stumbling blocks, because in it we're avoiding the very wrath of God. Jesus brings back the warnings of the Sermon on the Mount here, way back in Matthew chapter 5. There he did speak of cutting off your hand or plucking out your eye if it causes you to sin. But here he brings it back so that we will not only see it as a warning against sin in general, but particularly the evil of leading someone else into sin. The warning here is now dialed in so that we sort of see a laser dot of the wrath of God there on the sin of causing a little one who believes in Jesus to stumble. If you're going to cause a little one to stumble, cut your hand off, gouge out your eye. For those who harm little ones, that is the saints, those who believe in Jesus are going to face their Father who is angry for their sakes and who will do far worse than Jesus is saying here, far worse than gouge out an eye or cut off a hand. There will be hell to pay. Christ also lets us know that in verse 10 that we ought not to despise one of these little ones, for I say their angels in heaven are continually before the face of my Father. God has employed the armies of heaven to watch for his own. You could say in a certain sense they're the secret servant agents watching over the children of the king. Now we need to be careful here with this text. We don't seek to prove too much from it, too much, in regards to angels or whether or not we have guardian angels. But we shouldn't dismiss the power of the text either. God is protecting his own with the angels of heaven. One of the mighty tasks of the angels, then, is to protect the saints. You could say it is an all-out effort of heaven to defend the little ones who believe. Beloved, this means that your case is known to heaven. God will not let the ones who hurt his children go free. There will be a judgment far worse than a millstone tied around your neck, thrown into the ocean. Jesus lets us know that the one who has harmed the saints in this way would choose that fate over what awaits them. Heaven is there. All of heaven is there for the defense of the saints. Jesus finishes this section in verses 12 through 14 by letting us know that God is a faithful shepherd as well of his little ones. Showing us this intense care and concern that God has for his own. He begins by saying in verse 12, what do you think? He wants us to stop and consider this special care God has for each of his children. He compares this care to the care of a shepherd. A shepherd who, though he has 100 sheep, all of whom seem to be about the same to the one who doesn't care for the sheep, if you were to look at a flock of 100 sheep, it would just be 100 sheep that all look the same to you, probably. But if you're the shepherd, you know. You know if one is missing. The shepherd cares. He, as Jesus explains here, will leave the other 99 and he'll go search for one if it's lost. He doesn't say, well, I've got 99. I can lose a few. He goes for the one. And when that true shepherd finds the one he lost, Christ displays for us the joy that's there of the Father for his own. When he rejoices over it, Jesus says, more than the 99 that were not lost. He doesn't forsake the 99 to find the one. He's able to leave them in a safe place, as it were, and he goes and finds the one that's lost and rejoices. So it is with God. This is the point that Jesus is making here. God is the good shepherd of his little ones. He'll care for his lost sheep. He will lose none. None. It is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. He cares for all his little ones. He, beloved, cares for you. For you. You who believe are the little ones that are mentioned here in verse 14. You who believe are the little ones who are in the kingdom. You who believe are the little ones who are great in the kingdom. Because you look to your Father as a little child. You who believe are the ones who are under the care of God, who fiercely protects his own, who seeks after them when they're lost, who has charged his very angels to watch over you. In some very real manner. I don't know what that looks like. But it's real. You are the great prize of heaven. That is you who have been won with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you who would be in Christ by faith. You belong to God then by faith. He receives you as he receives his own son. That's the glory of the gospel. The Father loves the Son, as we saw a few weeks ago. Jesus is the beloved Son. And if you are in Christ by faith, if you have come and turned from your sin and looked to Christ alone, you are then in Christ. You are hidden with Christ in God. And there is no safer place that you could ever be than in Christ. Because there is the love of God. There is all the protection of your Father. Because he will not forsake his Son. And if you then are in Jesus by faith, he will not forsake you. He will fiercely defend you. Jesus, then, Jesus guards his little ones. Let's close with prayer. Father, we stand in awe that you would love us so. that you would make sinners your own, that you would call them into your own family, that we would indeed be called the children of God because we have put our faith and our hope in Jesus alone. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that washes away all our sins and that comes and purchases us for God, so that now we belong to you and you have turned all the power of heaven toward us for our good. Father, we pray that you would help us to rest in that. Help us, Lord, to look upwards as a little child, always trusting, always hoping in you. Guard us, Father, from putting stumbling blocks in the paths of others around us. Oh, Lord, help us to see that as we love the saints here, we love Christ. We pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me invite you to stand as Ryan comes and leads us in number 597. 597, let it be said of us. 597.